is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Ukraine crisis. Good evening. The London News points to a 17-mile-long column of Russian armor snaking down from Belarus towards Ukraine, towards Kiev. However, it has not made much advancement during the last daylight hours. The column is either stopped or, in some fashion, slowed down by Ukrainian forces, by the narrowness of its line. It's one road all the way into Kiev. And I welcome Colonel Jeff McCausland, United States Army retired, CBS News, Dickinson College, and the CEO of Diamond Six Leadership and Strategy to help all of us understand what an armor column veteran, Jeff McCausland, makes of a 17-mile column sitting there. Jeff, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. I read from the London paper. This is the British Defense Intelligence Agency commenting. The bulk of Putin's ground forces remain more than 30 kilometers to the north of Kyiv, their advance having been slowed by Ukrainian forces defending Hostomel airfield, a key Russian objective from day one of the conflict. In the opinion of the Ministry of Defense, quote, logistical failures and staunch Ukrainian resistance continues to frustrate the Russian advance. Jeff, does this look like the Soviet or Russian army that you trained on so many decades? Good evening to you, Jeff.
Good evening to you, John. Well, it looks like the Russian army I trained on in terms of its equipment, but it hardly looks like the Russian army that I studied very carefully in terms of its ability to coordinate large-scale, heavy-armored advances. Putting all these weapons systems on a column like this is an open invitation to disaster, as opposed to applying them on multiple avenues of advance, which decreases their vulnerability, while at the same time allowing you to move more quickly and not get your whole advance bottled up, as it seems the Russian are right now.
We've both studied World War II and Korea. We both have. You've taught it. What this immediately reminded me of is 30 Corps in the Market Garden operation supervised by Montgomery to send an armor column over three or four rivers into northern Germany, across the narrow part of the Rhine. It was one road. That was the problem. It could be stopped at any point by German counterattack. Also, the retreat from Chosin Reservoir in the winter by the Marines. One road out, and sometimes a bridge that they had to rebuild for the engineers. It's exactly the same story, Jeff. It's as if the Russians have learned nothing.
Precisely, John. As you say, if one bridge gets knocked out, the whole column stops. Furthermore, it appears, at least based on the weather and the ground on the along that road network, the vehicles can't exactly get off and maneuver through the fields because of the soft ground, and they just sink in place. And they're therefore very susceptible to any type of air attack, either by Ukrainian Air Force or by drone aircraft. We know the Ukrainians have gotten some of those from the Turks. Turks haven't provided those to Azerbaijan as well, who use such drones with devastating effect against Armenian armor. But furthermore, John, looking at that column just strikes me as a lack of basic, what I would call, soldier discipline. Because in combat, if you were on a road like that and you were forced to be on a road like that, at a minimum, you would space the vehicles. If you had to stop, vehicles would go out left and right as far as they could in a herringbone fashion, to provide flank security for the convoy as it's moving and reduce its overall vulnerability. And we don't even see those basic soldier skills being applied.
You've taught me that the Soviet, now Russian army, has three important imperatives in an offensive operation. Let's go through them. Surprise. Is that present?
Absolutely not, at least at the strategic level. That was not possible in the 21st century, where you can watch the massing of Russian forces on commercial satellites. We've been watching them prepare for months on end as we increased our belief that they were going to attack. Now, they might have achieved, some would argue, a minimum amount of tactical surprise, the precise moment of attack and the precise location, but largely did not achieve surprise in this particular invasion.
The second part, speed. Speed of operations. Is it present?
Speed has a character all its own, because what you want to do is hit the force, hit your opponent hard, keep up the movement so they basically collapse That's what the Russians always wanted to do. That's what they tried to do with some great success, with heavy armor advances against Nazi forces coming across many of these areas not far from there, there in the bloodlands of Eastern Europe. So they have failed to achieve surprise, and now that advance is totally bogged down.
Third part, mass. What does that mean, Jeff?
Mass means that you're going to try to achieve overwhelm your adversary by the correlation of military forces. So first of all, the Russians' heavy reliance on indirect fires, heavy artillery, missiles, rockets, close air support by aircraft, as well as rotary wing aircraft. Many people would describe the Hind attack helicopter for the Russians as a flying tank in terms of the amount of firepower it can deliver. So if you haven't achieved surprise and you haven't achieved speed, then it seems to me the Russians' only alternative on the military side, political and diplomatic, there may be others, but on the military side, is to apply more mass. That's why we see this large column heading towards Kyiv to try to increase the mass of forces being brought against the city. Frankly, though, John, I expect that they will also increase the mass of indirect fires, artillery, rocket, and missiles, even beyond the level of the fire that we have seen directed against Ukrainian cities for the last 5 days.
There are videos on the London Times newspaper showing rockets indiscriminately fired into Kharkiv, the second large city, hitting what looked to be residential towers. You tell me they're cluster bombs. What else have we note of or is possible, Jeff?
Well, certainly they're using cluster munitions. That's what you can see very clearly in that film that shows, you know, vehicles being struck, civilian vehicles being struck. These are missiles or artillery rounds that dispense bomblets. The bomblets then drop and detonate upon hitting the ground. They're what we call an area fire weapon, and clearly they're using those. This is totally contradictory, oh, by the way, to the official statements of the Russian government that they are not trying to attack civilians. And this is obviously clearly a lie.
And the big weapon, Jeff. There is video showing something very strange. It looks like a orange ball. What could that be, Jeff?
That sadly could be, John, is a thermobaric weapon. And we have seen Russian thermobaric rocket launchers moving across the border into Ukraine. Those have been seen on regular television video from the battlefront. This particular weapon is fired by a rocket. It dispenses a aerosol fuel into the air, creating a cloud of aerosol fuel, followed by a detonator, and so this whole cloud then explodes, achieving explosive power roughly the size of a small nuclear weapon. Obviously, you don't get the radioactive effect, but the overall explosion is in the kiloton type of yield. This will have a devastating effect, particularly in civilian areas, and obviously is unbelievably indiscriminate towards civilian. Most people would argue, in contravention of the Geneva Convention, the Russians used these particular weapons with devastating effect in Aleppo, Syria, against so-called Syrian rebels in their support of President Assad.
Colonel Jeff McCausland, CBS News. When we come back, the fog of diplomacy, NATO, how it responds.
You're listening
I'm John
to
Batchelor.
CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.